We come to a very important subject today that the Bible discusses for us, and we'll just introduce it today and in the next few weeks take a look at this very important subject, and that the subject is drunkenness. And I'm not just speaking about the participation or the use of alcohol. I'm talking about a specific command here in Scripture where God prohibits drunkenness. So let's read this text. We're in chapter 5 of Ephesians. And for context, this whole passage begins with verse 15 and goes up to verse 21. So let's read this passage. "See then that you walk circumspectly," or carefully, "not as foolish people, but as wise people, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And therefore do not be unwise, but understand and know what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, while submitting to one another in the fear of God." And so this is the total passage and the total context that Paul writes to us about the wise way in which we as Christians need to live our life, so that the people that surround us, the people we work with, the people we go to school with, the people we live with, would see that we are truly different people. Paul says that, beginning in chapter 4, that we are to walk worthy of the calling with which God has called us. The Christian person, the Christian life, is supposed to be a pattern that reflects Jesus Christ. Our life, when people look at our life, it's supposed to reflect the light of God, that God Himself is. You are light, Paul says. You're not like light, but you are light. The light shines in the darkness. The light lights up the darkness. And so our life is supposed to be a pattern of godly, wise living and thinking that is characterized by no dependence on any external stimuli. And so specifically today, Paul makes a contrast between the way the Ephesians used to live, the things they used to do, and the way they're supposed to live now. Remember back in chapter 2, Paul says, "One time, before you were Christians, before you were in Jesus Christ, one time you were dead. Now you are alive, and because you are alive, your life is supposed to be totally separate and totally different than the life of deadness that you once lived." Several weeks ago, we discussed the previous verse here that talks about the will of God. You remember, the will of God, the desire of God, is that nobody would be lost, but instead that all people would be saved. But once you're saved, God wants your life to be patterned after Scripture, for your life to be a reflection of what God and His Word teaches. And you remember some of the characteristics of the will of God that God wants to see in your life is that you be Spirit-filled. We will talk about that because that's the second part of verse 18. Being Spirit-filled, being led by the Holy Spirit, being controlled by the Holy Spirit, being influenced by the Holy Spirit is a comparison and a contrast to being filled with and led by and influenced by alcohol or other outside stimuli. You remember that the will of God is that we be sanctified or live a holy life. What does that mean? That means that our life is controlled in such a way by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, that it becomes our total focus in our life, and that we are influenced only by the Word of God and not by the things that society offers us, that the Ephesians at one time had lived that way. You remember, it's God's will that we be submissive. Submissive in what way? Submissive to the Word of God, especially when God gives us a specific command, as He does here in verse 18. And the command, let's read it. Both of this whole verse has two commands, two parts. It has a negative command and it has a positive command. The negative command is, do not become drunk. The positive side, it says, instead, be so controlled and so influenced by the Holy Spirit that then when we get to verse 19 and 20 and 21, it describes the fulfilling life of a Christian. So we see that this verse has two sections, a prohibition and a command. Something God says don't and something that God says do. And so the subject, of course, is what controls you? What controls your thinking? How do you think and what influences your thinking? Is it God? Is it His Word? Is it the command of God? Is it the law of God? Is it the revelation of God? This is God Himself speaking to us. Or will you go and be influenced by what the world says and says, here, try this? The text here specifically is not speaking about the use of alcohol or wine or strong drink, which are several different terms that Scripture uses. The specific command is for a Christian to never be controlled by another substance, especially alcohol. I think we have all at one time or another in our life seen somebody that was under the control of a substance, whether it's alcohol or drugs or anything else. There's a bumper sticker that says, "Be careful when you follow me. I am under the influence of children in the car." That causes some smiles on your face, but you can understand, or like we have a law now that you can't text while you drive. I would apply that to the church too. You're not to text in the church or use your phone in the church. We're here to worship God. What controls your thinking as you worship God? Is it waiting for the phone to ring or somebody to text you? Or is it to concentrate with your mind clearly on what God is saying in His Word? You see, soberness is the opposite of drunkenness. Being sober means to be in total control of how you think, how you speak, how you act. And there are many things that can distract us from something like alcohol and drugs to something like a telephone or a text or many other things that can distract us. Satan can distract us. Even while we are here listening to God's Word, Satan can distract our thinking so that we think about things other than the Word of God. And so at that particular moment, under whose control are you? Who is influencing your thinking while you're thinking about what you're going to do this afternoon or tomorrow or next month? Do you see the context here of what Paul is talking about? Paul's talking about our corporate worship when we come together to worship God. And when we worship God with our mind and with our heart that has to be united with the Word of God so that we can come together and worship God. Worship is a very serious subject. And what controls you is very serious. The two sons of Aaron, when they went into the Holy of Holies and they offered a fire there and an incense that was not acceptable to God, Scripture tells us that they were under the influence of alcohol. And so for leaders in the church, there's a special command over and beyond the command to Christians for us to be clear and sober-minded, to think clearly. For example, have you ever been so tired that when you drive down the freeway, your car kind of wanders? I think we've all been guilty of that, right? Have you ever been so tired that you can't think clearly? You see, there are many things that influence us, but here specifically Paul is talking about the influence and the power that alcohol has in society. The Bible teaches us that there is a time for everything. When you read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says there is a time to be born and a time to die. And one of those verses there in verse 4, it says there is a time to be happy, a time to laugh. When we look at society, the main reason people use alcohol in any form is because they are looking for happiness. And so the question I want to ask you today, the very basis of our Christian life, what is the second fruit of the Holy Spirit? What is the effect of the Holy Spirit in your life? Galatians chapter 5 says it begins with love and peace and joy. Do you seek joy in the Lord and in the Word and in worship and fellowship with other Christians? which is the calling of the church? Or do you seek happiness at the local bar during the happy hour? You see, most of the people going in there are not happy. And when they come out, they are definitely not happy. And when they come out, then they make all the people around them not happy. When we come and seek happiness in the Lord, what does David say? The joy of the Lord is my strength. So there is a time for happiness. But where do you seek and look for happiness? Is it in outside stimuli? The verse that David talks about, our joy. John writes about our joy in 1 John. He says, I write you these things so that when you read these things, your joy would be complete. The Christian person is complete and full only in Jesus Christ. And no drug and no alcohol and no other effect, not your children, not your material possessions, not your bank account or your 401. There is nothing that can give you the completeness and the joy and the happiness that God and God's word and fellowship with God's people in the church can give you. Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, rejoice where? In the Lord. Alcohol, when you seek joy there, it gives you a temporary escape from the problems you are running from. The Word of God, the joy of God, it gives you an answer to the problems in your life. And so this is part of the reason why Paul is making this contrast. Now, this is a subject we could spend a lot of time on, and I would recommend that you, those of you that weren't here recently when we had question and answer, and the subject came up. Pastor did an excellent study on the use of alcohol. Today, I'm not so much wanting to proclaim what Scripture says about alcohol, but the fact that this is a specific command from God to examine your thinking. Because we will look in future weeks about how we think about worship. The subject here is not about drinking or use of alcohol. The subject here is about what controls your thinking and how you worship. There is use of alcohol in Scripture, but specifically drunkenness as a result of using alcohol brought tragedy to many people. You remember Noah was a man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But when he became under the influence of alcohol and he became drunk, something very, very shameful happened to him. Remember Belshazzar, when he was drinking at the big feast. That night, the wall, the handwriting on the wall, God said, your kingdom will be taken away from you today. He was drunk when it happened. He was killed. Not only read about it in the Bible, you read about it in history book when you take history. In the New Testament, very, very serious command from the Lord that we always read on the first Sunday when we have communion in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. Paul writes that some of you Corinthian Christians have come to the table of the Lord drunk. And as a result of that, God has killed some of you. When you read the text there, it says some of you are weak, some of you are sick, and some of you are dying. God takes his word very, very seriously. And so for today, all I wanted to point out is a specific command to not allow yourself to be influenced by outside influences. And next time we will take a look at what had occurred in the life of these believers at Ephesus. Their background had included this as an act of worship. You notice, when you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, there is the correct and the right and the proper worship, verses 19 to 21, singing and music and thanksgiving and submission. And the people that are not under the control of the Holy Spirit, they don't understand these principles of proper worship. And so meditate on this next week. When we come back, we'll talk some more about God's specific command that we be influenced and led by the Holy Spirit of God instead of outside temporary things in the world. Amen.